Marjorie Cohn is a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She is president of the National Lawyers Guild and U.S. representative to the Executive Committee of the American Association of Jurists. Her new book, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law, will be published in June. And she joins me today to discuss the Bush administration's threats and accusations against Iran. Hello, Marjorie.
Hello, George.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
In a recent piece that you wrote for Counterpunch titled Cruise Missile Diplomacy, Bush Targets Iran, you said that Bush is opting for gunboat diplomacy. What do you mean when you say gunboat diplomacy?
Well, Bush recently sent U.S. warships and Patriot missile batteries to the Persian Gulf. He moved U.S. attack aircraft to Turkey and other countries on Iran's borders. U.S. forces stormed the Iranian consulate in northern Iraq, capturing six Iranian nationals, and Bush recently announced that he is going to capture or kill any Iranians he considers to be a threat.
What justifications were given for this? Has the Bush administration produced any evidence to support its claims against Iran? What are those claims and what evidence has been brought forward?
Well, there hasn't been any hard evidence. Bush has claimed that Iranian networks are providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies, but when his administration said that it was going to back those claims up with proof this last week, they've been putting that report off, many people think, because they just don't have the goods. In fact, many people think that Iran has virtually nothing to do with the Iraqi resistance movement, which is staffed by Sunnis. The Iranians are Shiites. And in fact, the vast majority of American casualties in Iraq are victims of the Sunni insurgency. And there really has not been any hard evidence that any attacks on U.S. soldiers can be tied to Iran.
If there's no hard evidence, as you say, then what is at the root of the Bush administration's actions and rhetoric against Iran? What is it they're looking to accomplish?
Well, the other thing, of course, is that they have been saying that Iran is acquiring nuclear weapons, even though there's been no proof of that either. And this is very, very reminiscent of the lead-up to the war in Iraq, where the Bush administration continued to hype threats of weapons of mass destruction and ties with terrorists, Al-Qaeda, even though the CIA and the Bush administration now, it becomes clear that they knew that these were not valid claims. But Bush, you recall, inaugurated Iran into his axis of evil in January 2002. And in Bush's 2006 national military strategy, he said, "We may face no greater challenge from a single country than from Iran." In April of last year, Seymour Hersh documented very detailed military planning for attacks on Iran, including the use of nuclear bunker buster tactical nuclear weapons. He said that he quoted, Hersh quoted his former defense official, who said that military planning for invasion of Iran was grounded in the belief that a sustained bombing campaign in Iran will humiliate the religious leadership and lead the public to rise up and overthrow the government. That's the same faulty logic that the U.S. government has used since 1959, since Fidel Castro's revolution in 1959, and the U.S. government has used that same logic to justify its cruel embargo and blockade of Cuba, which, of course, has not worked.
So you think the idea behind an attack on Iran would be to get the population to rise up?
Well, that's part of it. I think that, and I don't know where they're going to get these troops, although I understand that they're now talking about that federal employees may have to go over to Iraq and help with the war effort, which is really quite novel because they don't have enough troops. I think they may think that they can just bomb that country and bomb nuclear sites, which, of course, many of which may be underground and many of which may not even exist. It's very hard to say what they're thinking, but if you look back to a document produced under the direction of Dick Cheney in 1992, a Pentagon defense planning guidance, it said basically that the U.S. is going to take over the Middle East and have access to the oil there. And Saddam Hussein was not was not doing the U.S. bidding, and so he had to go, even though, I mean, he was a horrible guy, but he certainly was not threatening the United States, never attacked us, never attacked any other country since Kuwait 12 years before. And the same with Iran. The Saudi Arabia, I mean, look at Saudi Arabia. 15 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 came from Saudi Arabia. There are al-Qaeda training camps in Saudi Arabia. The government is funding a lot of that, and yet we're not talking about going after Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is a government that's friendly to the U.S. and specifically to U.S. corporations and U.S. business.
So you think this is just another attempt at regime change in a country where the leadership isn't sympathetic to U.S. aims?
Yes, exactly. I think it is. And mind you, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm in love with the Iranian regime, but this, we have no right to go in and change a regime. I mean, well, let me put it this way. Sometimes this makes it easier to understand. Let's say the government of Sweden looked at the United States and realized that the government here, first of all, there might have been election tampering, vast numbers of people lived in poverty without health insurance, that the government of the United States prosecuting wars of aggression, and American soldiers were getting killed for illegal wars, that the country was running a huge deficit because of these wars, that torture was going on as a result of policy coming from the Bush administration, and that Sweden thought that the American people needed a regime change because we really didn't have democracy in this country. And so Sweden, of course this is hypothetical, invaded the U.S. to change our regime. Would they have the right to do that?
I'm speaking with Marjorie Cohn. She is a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She's also president of the National Lawyers Guild, and she's recently written a piece for Counterpunch titled "Cruise Missile Diplomacy, Bush Targets Iran." In your article, you say that in light of congressional opposition to the war in Iraq, Bush is not likely to ask permission to make war on Iran, and you say we can expect Bush to provoke or even fabricate an incident with Iran, something similar to the Tonkin Gulf incident, and then claim he's responding to Iranian aggression. How likely is that really, and how would that work?
Well, this is just a theory based upon the research that I've done. I don't have any inside information. I don't know how it would work, but I really, because there's so much opposition in Congress to his surge in Iraq, although, of course, it's very interesting that Congress has been tying itself up in knots for 3 weeks with a non-binding resolution that it can't agree on, which I'm sure the Bush administration is delighted about because it can go ahead and pursue its agenda without any real resistance. So I think that in light of the fact that the November 7th election was a referendum on the war in Iraq, Bush is not going to go to Congress and ask permission to invade Iran, even though presidential candidates like Hillary Clinton and John Edwards have been rattling the sabers just as much as Bush about war in Iran, and so I'm not really sure how much confidence we can have that Congress would stand up to him. I think that all he has to do is say that Israel is threatened, even though there's no real basis for that, and Congress would go along. But I think that it's probably more likely that Bush is going to, you know, with his gunboats and his capturing of Iranians and his rattling the sabers there in the Persian Gulf, he's going to either provoke or fabricate an incident and then say, well, he's responding to Iranian aggression. In Wednesday's Los Angeles Times, senior Pentagon officials were quoted as saying that Air Force and Navy fighter planes along the Iran-Iraq border may be used more aggressively. So I think that we can expect, and certainly this is a likely scenario, that Bush is not going to go to Congress to get authorization to attack Iran. He will bootstrap his two prior congressional authorizations for force in Afghanistan and Iraq into consent to attack Iran.
The U.S. government, the Bush administration, made claims recently that it might have been Iranians who killed five Americans in Karbala in a January 20th attack. What is the significance of that claim?
Well, this is very interesting. On Tuesday, the administration said that Iranians may have trained attackers who killed five Americans in Karbala on January 20th. And the investigators were really stumped at how these attackers wore American-style uniforms and had forged U.S. identity cards and American-style M4 rifles and used stun grenades, like the kind only used by U.S. forces. And also, the attacker's convoy of SUVs looked like an American convoy and slipped through Iraqi checkpoints. And the New York Times floated this theory that a Western mercenary group might have been involved. And I think that that's very interesting. In the past, the U.S. government has used the CIA to covertly overthrow governments, such as Iran's democratically elected government in 1953, Mohammad Mossadegh, and replaced it with the tyrant, the Shah of Iran, and then Chile's Salvador Allende, democratically elected president, the CIA overthrew his government in 1973, replacing him with the vicious tyrant Augusto Pinochet. If you also look at the fact that when Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense last year, he set up kind of a shadow intelligence service, kind of parallel to the CIA, to go undercover and basically operate covertly in other countries. It may be that mercenaries or this parallel shadow agency are actually fomenting trouble in Iran, so to give the Bush administration an excuse to go in and change the regime and use nuclear weapons on the people of Iran. It would be a tragedy of immense proportions.
When you say there's a potential that there might be nuclear weapons used against the people of Iran, you're talking about bunker buster nuclear weapons that would be used to attack certain military targets, correct?
Well, if they know where the military targets are, they're talking about underground nuclear sites in Iran. Well, how do they know where they are? And how do they know there aren't others? And, you know, if they just go willy-nilly using nuclear weapons in Iran, one of the things that Seymour Hersh did last year in April was to quote American officials, a former defense official, who said that these bunker buster tactical nuclear weapons would mean, and I quote, mushroom clouds, radiation, mass casualties, and contamination over years. This is what a former senior intelligence official told Seymour Hersh. And a Pentagon advisor told Hersh that the Air Force would strike many hundreds of targets in Iran, 99% of which have nothing to do with nuclear proliferation. We're talking about killing and maiming thousands and thousands and thousands of Iranians. This is just unacceptable. This is what the Bush administration, its war that it manufactured in Iraq, has done to the Iraqi people. A recent study showed 655,000 Iraqi civilians killed. It's just astounding that this is happening, that Congress would let it happen, and that the American people, if they knew what was going on, would let it happen. I don't think the American people really understand that Bush is following the same path with Iran that he followed with Iraq.
Well, it might be one of the military proposals that has called for the use of bunker buster tactical nuclear weapons, as reported by Seymour Hersh, uncovered in April of 2006. There might be, as you say, a lot of saber rattling, but how likely is this actually to happen? I mean, how could such an invasion even occur at this point when there are would doubtless be little or no support in the international community? Congress is unlikely to actively support it. Where are the troops going to come from? I mean, it just seems very unrealistic at this point that the U.S. would go and invade Iran.
Well, you would think so, but, you know, the Bush administration doesn't always act rationally. And if you continue, you hear the high officials in the Bush administration continually saying the military option is not off the table against Iran. I mean, the fact that it's even on the table is just amazing to me. And you have people in the Bush administration, you have Secretary of Defense Robert Gates saying that, you have people in Congress like Hillary Clinton and John Edwards saying that. I mean, and it sounds very much like what Bush said in the run-up to the war on Iraq. I mean, you know, some people have actually compared his statements. I think maybe John Stewart from The Daily Show has compared. Maybe it was Keith Olbermann on MSNBC, actually. It was Keith Olbermann on MSNBC who took little statements that Bush had made before Iraq and compared them to what he's saying now before Iran, and they're almost identical.
What about the international community? I mean, there'd be probably no support in the UN for such an attack. So wouldn't the US have to, in some way, get a Security Council resolution before they could make such an invasion?
Absolutely. Offensive military action against Iran would be illegal. The United States has ratified the United Nations Charter, and that's not just international law, that's U.S. law, because under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, treaties that the United States ratifies become part of the law of the land. And the UN Charter says that all international disputes must be settled peacefully and that countries can't use force or threats of force against the other, against others. There is Article 51 of the UN Charter that recognizes the right of self-defense, but that's only that only comes after there's an armed attack against a country, and Iran hasn't attacked any country, and the Security Council has not approved such an invasion. So, yes, an invasion of Iraq would violate the UN Charter. It would be a war of aggression. It would be a crime against the peace under the Nuremberg Principles, and the U.S. Just could not do that. In fact, I want to call people's attention to an open letter that was sent by 12 legal and human rights groups warning of the illegality of any offensive military action by the U.S. against Iran, and that was on Friday. My organization, the National Lawyers Guild, was one of several, American Association of Jurists, Center for Constitutional Rights, International Association of Democratic Lawyers, and other legal and human rights organizations from all over the world, including Japan, Belgium, Italy, France, England, the United Kingdom, saying that such an attack on Iran would be illegal, would violate the UN Charter.
It seems like it's probably a little bit more likely that U.S. will just continue the rhetoric and continue what they're currently doing, as you called it, gunboat diplomacy, rather than a full-scale invasion, because of the fact that the situation in Iraq is so bad. I mean, where are the troops going to come from for this thing if they did it full-scale?
Well, you know, you're right, and you're using common sense, and they don't always use common sense. I mean, the couple of other scenarios are, number one, Israel might attack Iran and the U.S. will back up Israel. Another is that federal employees are now starting to receive letters saying that they may have to go to Iraq. these aren't military people. These are federal employees. And as part of Bush's civilian program, because he doesn't have enough troops even to do the job in Iraq. You know, the military recruiters are just desperate. They're recruiting older people, people with mental problems, people with all kinds of health problems, because they're just desperate. And he doesn't want to institute a draft because he knows from one thing he did learn from Vietnam is that that brings college kids out into the streets by the tens of thousands. And that, of course, helped to end the Vietnam War. You are right. It defies common sense to think that Bush would go after Iran, but the problem is that all the indications continually point in that direction.
So if he could create an international, if the Bush administration could somehow create an international incident that they could then blame on Iran, they could somehow skirt the UN, figure out a way to call it self-defense and not have to get approval and just go for it?
I think you're right. I think you're right. But keep in mind that the UN Charter says that a country can act in self-defense if it or another UN country is attacked only until the Security Council acts. So the Security Council could stop it. The problem is that the U.S. has a veto on the Security Council, and that could effectively paralyze the Security Council. Now, the other possibility is that the General Assembly could act. The General Assembly is the democratic body of the U.N., where every country has one vote. No country is more powerful than any other. And there is a procedure called Uniting for Peace Resolution, which allows, and it's been used before, and it allows the General Assembly to act to maintain and restore international peace and security if the Security Council is unable or unwilling to act.
Didn't the Bush administration virtually ignore the UN when they went to war in Iraq? I mean, couldn't they repeat some of the same behavior if they were planning an invasion of Iran?
Yes. The Bush administration did get one resolution, 1441, from the Security Council, but that resolution did not authorize the U.S. to use force in Iraq. So the Bush administration tried to get another resolution from the Security Council. The Security Council refused to pass a resolution, so Bush invaded Iraq anyway and said, oh, well, we really don't need that second resolution because we have 1441 and we have some old resolutions left over from the Gulf War, none of which individually or collectively authorized Bush to invade Iraq in 2003. And yes, you know how Bush feels about law, U.S. law, international law, the U.N., that he will thumb his nose at it once again when it comes to Iran.
I just have a couple more quick questions for you. You mentioned Israel. Are there any indications that the Bush administration would use Israel or support military action by Israel against Iran?
There has been speculation to that effect. And Bush has said that in the past, that we will not allow Israel to be threatened by Iran. You know, there's this thing that's going around about how the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, said that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth, and that's being pulled out and quoted as justification for, rattling the sabers against Iran. But according to Juan Cole, who's an American professor of the modern Middle East and South Asian history at the University of Michigan, and other language experts in the Farsi language, which is the language they use in Iran, said that the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, did not call for Israel to be wiped off the map. This is what he said, quote, "The regime occupying Jerusalem must vanish from the page of time." And so Cole, Professor Juan Cole, said that does not imply military action or killing anyone at all. And it's important to keep that in mind, that the president of Iran, as crazy as he might seem, has not threatened to wipe Israel off the map. And yet that phrase is continually cited when the Bush administration tries to hype anger against Iran. And so that many people are thinking, and this is a product of the research that I found, that either the Bush administration will stage some kind of incident and attack Iran itself, or Israel will attack Iran, and the Bush administration will back it up, and that's why those two warships are there in the Persian Gulf, those U.S. warships.
What should Congress do, and what can citizens of the U.S. do to try to prevent such an illegal invasion?
What Congress should do is immediately pass a binding resolution reaffirming the United States' legal obligations, informing the Bush administration that it will not allow any invasion or military action against Iran, that it would refuse to approve any funding for it, and it would consider actions taken in contravention of that resolution as impeachable offenses. Of course, Congress is not likely to do that unless it is pushed by its constituency to do that. And so that means people need to pressure their congressional representatives by email, by writing, by phone calls, by exercising their First Amendment rights to demonstrate, and writing op-eds, writing letters to the editor. It's really up to us to push Congress to make sure that this doesn't happen.
I've been speaking with Marjorie Cohn. She is a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, president of the National Lawyers Guild, and U.S. representative to the Executive Committee of the American Association of Jurists. Her new book, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law, will be published in June, and she has a piece in Counterpunch that came out February 1st called Cruise Missile Diplomacy, Bush Targets Iran, which you can find at counterpunch.org. Thanks so much for joining me today, Marjorie. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure, George.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Again, you can find her article at counterpunch.org along with many other excellent articles, counterpunch.org. Thanks for listening. This is 101.1 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, streaming online at freakradio.org.